Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this evening and appreciate each one that's come. And I do believe that prayer meetings are important, really important. And it's good to come and pray. And just our brothers mentioned that Sister Jenny rang me last night and her mom's not good. It was worse than what they expected, and cancer's got into her liver and they've given her up. The doctors have given her up and they're saying that she might only last a couple of weeks. So they're sending her home. But she's got saved. She's called on the Lord to be saved. And that's wonderful. And you know, I told Sister Jenny the Lord can still touch her. And we can still pray and believe. And somebody says, well, somebody else had it and they weren't cured. But the gospel was preached and one got saved and another didn't get saved. So the preacher kept preaching, didn't he? That's the way it is. You have to keep on going. And God is still able. And I have no message tonight. And the reason I have no message tonight is I can't get away from Genesis chapter 22. And that's 2 weeks now, and God just keeps bringing me back to it. And Jehovah Jireh. So I want to just read it tonight and say a few things, and then we're going to pray, and I won't be long. Let's just bow our heads again this evening and praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that, Lord, we can come to you because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Lord, we would ask you this evening that you'd wash each one of us afresh in the blood of the Lamb of God. Wash us, Lord, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Purge us, and we shall be as Hyssop. Sanctify us, and we'll praise you, and fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit, I pray. Lord, I take authority over every spirit that's contrary to the Holy Spirit, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will move afresh in our lives, afresh in this room tonight, and even as our brothers pray it, and each and every one that we've mentioned this evening, we asked that the Holy Spirit will go to them and move upon them in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, touch Iris Redman, and Lord, everyone else that's been prayed for tonight, we pray especially for Jenny, for your strength, for your courage. Let a boldness come upon her, Lord, at this time. In Jesus' precious name. And Father, bless your word, for it is blessed. Bless it to us tonight. And speak to us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Genesis 22. And you know, it's amazing because God starts off with an impossibility. And the first thing, God meets Abraham. And he says to Abraham, I am thy exceeding shield and I am thy great reward. So he said to Abraham, I'm your protector and I'm your provider. And then he says to Abraham, you're going to have a son by Sarah. 25 years passed. Nothing seemed to happen, but Abraham believed God. And if we were to turn over to Romans chapter 4, we would read that Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness because he believed God. And then we call it the chapter, the imputation of the righteousness of God. And you could preach a whole sermon on the righteousness of God. But God starts with Abraham and God gives Isaac supernaturally. From a woman that's barren, that can't have children, and she's 90 years of age and Abraham's 100, and God gives him the promised son. Then the promised son comes along and some time's passed, and then God tells him to get out to the place where he's going to show him, where he's going to want him to sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham never questioned God. He believed God. And you know, I don't know how far you can travel, like how they traveled, but they traveled for 3 days. So the 3 days travel let you know they went out quite a bit to where they went. And then we want to read here from verse 1 of Genesis 20. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham Now another version reads it, tested them. Tested them. Now you know there's a thing here, God cannot be tempted. We can, but God can't. We need the Lord's help, don't we? But God was testing Abraham, tempting him. And Abraham said unto Abraham said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. Now he had more sons than Isaac. So there's no mistake here now. He had more sons than Isaac, but he had one promised son. And God is telling him, take the promised son. And we know that that's a type of Christ. God gave his only begotten son, special, unique one. And Abraham here is taking his special son, unique son, because he came supernaturally. And he was a promised one. And here he's taking him. And God's asking for him. None of the rest will do. It has to be somebody special. Somebody that came by promise. And you know, Abraham says, I received him as one from the dead. Praise God. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So God sends him, and he says, I'll tell you, more or less on the way, I'm going to let you know where you're going. Now you see the striking thing about this to me is, Abraham is in powerful communion here with God. I want you to get that. People talk about the Lord spoke to me. But I want you to know tonight, you're reading here, God is having a conversation with Abraham. He's talking with him. He's giving him detail. And the God we serve tonight can give you detail. Real detail. Because he's still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I tell you, this is really amazing. And God sent him to go. And Abraham never questions the going. He's willing to go. I tell you many times, and I said it one week, and maybe it was for somebody that's not here tonight. I don't know who it was for, but I believe it was for somebody. Many times God can speak this and we do nothing about it. Nothing. And then we'll pray the next week and say, Lord, will you talk to me? And God has been talking, but we're not listening. We don't want to do what he tells us. And it could be somewhat simple. And the Bible says if we're faithful in the small things, then God knows we'll be faithful in the bigger things. And I tell you, Abraham was faithful in the small things, and he was faithful in the bigger things, and he saw bigger things, didn't he? Praise God. And burnt offering, verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went onto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eye and saw the place afar off. 3 days traveling with the mules, and he sees the place afar off, so he went out a fair bit. I'm not sure how far you could go in a day, 20 mile at least, I'd say. At least 20 mile. A man that's fit, now remember, back then wasn't like now, they didn't jump into a car and sail down the road. These people were used walking and traveling. Isn't that right? Now I don't know how far they would have went, but I'll tell you, went a fair bit back into them mountains. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now I want you to get north in here, because sometimes things are stuck out of the Bible that's not real. He wasn't a wee fellow on the bottle, Isaac here. He was a young man. But the Bible calls him a lad. And it's just like David when he faced Goliath. People think David's a wee fellow by 4 foot. But he was no such thing as a wee small fellow 4 foot. He was big. And here the Bible calls Isaac a lad, but he's a grown lad, a young man. And I tell you, if you study it enough, you can prove that. It's easy enough to prove that. But that's probably not so important. But I tell you, there's so many things in this. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now God's telling him that you're going to sacrifice Isaac right at the start here. And he's telling these men to wait, and he could see afar where he was to go. So he was still traveling, they had to wait, and he's saying, I and the lad will go and come again. He's prophesying. And Jesus Christ said, I have power to lay my life down and have power to take it up again. And Abraham said, and the lad's going to go and the lad's going to come again. How could he say that? But he said it. He had faith. And I tell you, when God strikes a man with faith, he can say things that doctors, nurses, and everybody will say, that couldn't happen. But if God inspires somebody to say it, it can happen. That's just the way it is. And we know the spoken word's original seed. God said, and it manifested. Amen? And look at this. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon the Isaac, his son. And he took the fire and his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. He made Isaac carry it. You see, do you know why he made Isaac carry it? Because Jesus Christ carried the cross. And Isaac carries the wood on which he's going to be led. And remember, he was led on it. But God spurred him. But he was led on it. And Christ was led on the cross. And God never spurred him. And he cried out in the book of Psalms, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he was slain of the Lord. That's what the Bible says in Isaiah 53. I tell you, Christ took our place. And here Abraham just like Jesus, isn't it? Praise God. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? You imagine this young fella's going to get put in the wood here. And I tell you something, he doesn't know all the details. But he's going. And God is saying, Abraham's saying, God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. How is God going to provide? I don't know, but God says, I will provide. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood on the altar and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. You put yourself now in Isaac's shoes for a minute. And he gives his dad a hand to carry the wood, and he builds the altar with him, and then he puts him on it and ties him on it. And there's a knife and all ready. I tell you, that took faith. God could ask any of us to do some wee thing and we mightn't do it. But then we talk about Abraham. I tell you what, Abraham had faith. That's why the Bible calls him the father of faith. There's where it started. You can't really preach about faith if you're not preaching about Abraham. That's a fact. That's a Bible fact. You have to go to Abraham. And it's in this Bible that we can go to it. And we can read about Abraham. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of the heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for I now know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And God provided the lamb and a ram. And William Branham said, how did the ram get up there to the mountain where they were? Sheep doesn't go up there, but that one was there. Now, if you can believe it, God made it. But if you haven't the faith to believe it, believe whatever you want. But I believe God made it. Just like I believe when Jesus was on the shore and the fish were cooked. Do you think he went out and caught them? He made them. Because we're talking about a supernatural God. With supernatural ability, with supernatural authority. And Abraham's already prophesied Isaac's coming back from a, and God's telling him to slay him, but he's prophesied he's gone and he's coming back again. God can do a way far above what we could ever think or ask. We're serving a mighty God tonight. We need to have faith. Oh, but brother, somebody hadn't faith that it hindered me. Well, I'm going to cure that in a wee minute. Somebody having no faith will not stop the faith of God. That's nonsense. Now I know you could say, well, Jesus done no many, many miracles there because of unbelief. But still, faith will still work. Where there's real faith, God will still work. We'll cover it in a moment. But I want to finish reading this. I thought I would read this and say nothing, but that's what happens. This could just be for me. Mightn't be for anybody in this meeting. But if it's for me, it's great. I'm believing it. God's word's real. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, look at the angel then, verse 12. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, and only son. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. It is said to this day. There's where you get the name from. And Jehovah Jireh means God shall provide. That's what it means. And I tell you, the word Jehovah Jireh that was real to Abraham here is real tonight in 2023. This word Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. How? I don't know, but the ram was there. How did it get there? I can't tell you that. I don't know. Now maybe some smart fella could trace there's a flock of sheep somewhere. He could go and do it. It'll make no difference to me. Just like they'll tell you that the ark couldn't have done this and the ark couldn't have done something else. And how did they feed them? Where to put the manure? You see, that's the boy working with this. But we're not working with that. We're working in faith. Faith. When Jesus said to Peter, come on. Peter didn't say, Lord, I've no bridge to climb over to you. God said to Peter, come on. Now Peter might have sunk, but he walked in that water a bit, a good bit, before he sunk. And after he sunk, do you think that, how do you think he got back to the boat? He walked back with the Lord. That's what I believe. But he walked in the water. We are serving a supernatural God with supernatural ability and supernatural authority. And I believe if we want to see the miracles and the power of God, we need to preach about the miracles and we need to preach about the power of God. God wants our faith lifted. He wants us to believe tonight. And many times God lets us get in a spot. How do you know that? Because he let it happen with Abraham. That's how I know. And he let it happen with Peter. That's how I know. But he'll take you out of the spot. But he wants to prove himself. that he is Almighty God. He's not just God, he's Almighty God. He's the God of Abraham. Jehovah Jireh, as it said, this day in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn. Now I tell you, that's a some statement. By myself have I sworn. That'll throw you over to the book of Hebrews where it says he could swear by no greater. So he swore by himself. And here he's saying in Genesis 22:16, by myself I have sworn. It can't be undone. When God says something, he can swear by no greater. He swore by himself by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie. His word's real. Then you could go to Ezekiel and you could go to Jeremiah, and it says God watches over his word to perform it and bring it to pass. You don't bring it to pass. Mary, you can't. God does not require you to do a thing. That's the difficult thing. We think we've something to do, with nothing to do. Our brother prayed it at the start of the service. All we have to do is be still and know that I am God. God will do it. You've nothing to do. Nothing. All Abraham did was believe. He believed. And God wants you and me to believe. How's it going to happen? I couldn't tell you. But God says, believe it. By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Thy seed is as stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Isn't that wonderful? And I tell you, Israel is blessed tonight. Verse 18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young man, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. And you know, you can read right on down through here, and you can read on to where Sarah died, and to where Abraham had no place to bury her. And he asked him for a special place. Well, I haven't got time tonight to go on into all that. But I tell you, Abraham believed God. God wants us to believe him tonight. Turn with me to Romans 3 and verse 3. And I have no real scriptures or message just a few thoughts I want to share. Romans chapter 3, verse 3. Let's read from verse 1. What advantage then have the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Verse 3. For what if some did not believe, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? No, it can't. There's people tonight that don't believe in healing. And this is for me as much as anybody else. We can get caught up worrying about who doesn't believe it. But God doesn't want us to worry about that. God wants us to believe it. Amen. There's people, and if the Lord raised the dead in front of them, they still wouldn't believe it. You know, when William Branham was in Germany, and he came out of Germany, went into Switzerland, and all the religious leaders gathered, and they had a special meeting with him. And they began to say, we think you're doing this through witchcraft. And he told them, the devil doesn't go about healing people. And they said, well, reading people's minds, no, we believe you're the way you're doing it. And he said, well, then who heals them? Because they're getting healed. And the wee girl in Germany, totally blind, she couldn't see. And the Lord absolutely healed her, and she opened her eyes for the first time and saw her mother for the first time. Other people dumb were healed. And he was sitting there, and then the angel of the Lord came. And he said, the one I'm talking about's here now. And that light came. The angel of the covenant, which he said was none other than Jesus Christ that appeared to Abraham or to Moses. And he spoke to Abraham as well. And then he started telling the man, he says, you're not German and you're not Swedish either. You're from Italy. I tell you, God's real. But I'm telling you, if people see it, they'll still not believe it. There's nothing me and you can do about that. But there is people that will believe it. And here verse 3 of chapter 3 says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy saying and mightest overcome when thou art judged. God wants us to know, even though they don't believe, don't worry about it. You could be living in a house with somebody and they don't believe, but that won't make you an unbeliever. You're still a believer. God wants us to believe him. Abraham believed him. Now you know Abraham separated himself. He separated himself. And God blessed him. You could go verse 12 to Hebrew 11. Hebrews 11 verse 6. And I'm finishing in a moment. Hebrews 11 verse 6. I just want to say something to encourage you to pray a prayer of faith. And if I can try and pray a prayer of faith, and if you can try and pray a prayer of faith, and somebody else in there tries to pray a prayer of faith, and then if we can take a three-foot cord, God will do something. He has to. That's the fact of the Bible. Verse 6. If they shall fall away. Now I'm reading. Chapter 11, verse 6. Read it, brother, if you've got it before me. I told you not at the start. Abraham was in communion with God, wasn't he? And Hebrews 11, 6 says we must diligently seek him. God wants us to be people that seek him. You could take the man in the Bible, the seventh son. He walked with God and he was not, for the Lord took him. Enoch, the seventh from Adam. He walked with God. He was in communion with God. And God is looking at a group of people that's in communion with him. That's continually in communion with the Lord, like Abraham. And you think when Abraham started, he had no son. Not only had he no son, he had nothing that he could do about it, his own self. He was getting old. Sarah would cease to be with her after the manner of women. Everything was impossible. We're not even in that position tonight. We're in a better position in that sense. But you see, that's where people go wrong. They look at the position they're in and they think, I have a better chance. But that's the wrong way to look at it. When you have no chance and you think nothing can be done, that's what God does it. It's like Andrew Beach and preaching with the suddenly. When you're not even thinking about it, God will do it. It's like when you and me and you was away from the Lord and he just spoke to you. You never prayed and said, Lord, will you talk to me? You never prayed and asked God to do nothing. It was God that done it. God done it. And God picked Abraham. I believe that. He was a prophet. And God visited him. And God tested him. But Abraham was willing to have the faith to believe God. And God wants us to have the faith to believe him tonight. Pray. And I know our sister's got bad news. And people's looking at it, that's it now. But we can still believe God. We can still believe God. God is still able. You know, when me and John was in Australia, the last time there was a wee man was there. I can't remember his name. But he had the same condition that Rock Hut, where them things tore in him. Two of them tore in him. Whatever they were in him, he tore them. He's lifting weights and he tore them. And he was in the hospital and they said, that's it, it's over for him. And Brother Brandon then went and prayed for him. And the man's still living. He's still living. God done something. And we sat and had lunch with that man. And he was living. And God is still on the throne. And I want you to be encouraged tonight to pray. A prayer of faith. Pray a prayer that'll shock the devil. Amen. Did you ever pray a prayer like that? The devil doesn't want you to pray. He wants you to pray the same way, routine prayer. He doesn't want you to pray nothing to disturb his weak kingdom. He wants you to be defeated before you even pray. But I want you to believe God for the impossible, that God can make it possible. The way I want you to believe. And I want to believe like that. That our God is able. Amen. To do exceedingly abundantly, far above what we can ask or even think. Our God is able to do. He's a supernatural God. God can do it. I know God can do it. I tell you when, and I'm closing, you know, when I was at work one day and I got the phone call and Matthew's, our Andreas lad, was towed up the road behind a car and his head bounced like a football on the road, right up behind a car at high speed. And when we got there, they more or less said it would be impossible. His head was massive. He looked terrible. He had cuts and everything all over him. And there's nurses running about, and the Lord bless them. And I went in, and there was a woman there, which I believe was a witch as well. She was down there doing all her ways, whatever she'd done, but it will not stop God. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people condemn tongues, but I'm going to tell you something tonight. I never spoke one word of English when I got in there. I prayed in tongues over Matthew. And God raised him up. And he's a family, he's married, he's three children, and he's living the day. And if you ever get a hold of him and ask him, he knows God done it. He knows God done it. Now, he mightn't be saved. I can't save him. God can only do that. But just like God healed him, he can save him. Amen. He can save him. And I believe he'll come. That's what God's able to do. God can do anything. Let's believe the Lord tonight. Let's pray for Sister Jenny that the Lord will really touch her and give her boldness. That God will do something in her mom. And her dad as well. Let's pray for the meetings, that God will start to move in these meetings. Her brother John will be preaching on Sunday, and Samuel and John in the morning, and Samuel in the evening. Pray for the meetings. Pray for Brother John and Brother Samuel. Pray the Holy Ghost will move and have his way in her meetings. Let's come and seek the Lord tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Abraham, your prophet, and for Isaac, and these wonderful patriarchs of faith. When we go into Hebrews, that's what they're called. We thank you that we can see a perfect picture of the lovely Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Isaac. And Father, we are encouraged tonight that Abraham obeyed you, he believed you, and you wrought the impossible. Lord, you see everything and you know everything tonight. Rid us from fear of man and from unbelief. Forgive us for our unbelief, for our backsliding. And Lord, I pray that you'll fill us afresh with faith, that we will believe you for the impossible. Lord, I pray you'll touch Jenny's mom tonight from the crown of her head to the soldier of faith. We know that cancer is a false life living of a real life. And we curse it in the name of Jesus Christ. And we ask that it go from her and you'll make her well. We thank you that she's got saved, but we pray you'll raise her up as well. For what's impossible with man is possible with you. Encourage Sister Jenny tonight, and all these other requests, meet every single need, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we ask you for all the loved ones tonight, even young Matthew that we mentioned. We pray you'll save every one of them. In Jesus' precious name, help us to be the men and women in this hour, in this day, that you want us to be, Lord. Help us, Lord. Grant us, bring us into that place of favor with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray tonight. Bless every brother and every sister in this room. Give them strength. Give them grace. Pray for Philip, Lord, that you'll bless him. That everything will go according to his heart's desire. In the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Father, have your way. Lord, you're Jehovah Jireh to Abraham. And you're Jehovah Jireh to us tonight. And you've never changed. And we bless you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless each one as we continue just to seek the Lord tonight.